As we're in the midst of Rosh Chodesh Elul, about 2 weeks, 10 days or so before Rosh Hashanah, I thought maybe a discussion of some Rosh Hashanah topics to get us prepared for this great day of Malchus Hashem, of Yom Hadin. All Yom Tovim require preparation. All moments of expanded religious consciousness require mental preparation. A person can't just back into a Yom Tov and expect to taste the full dimension, the full texture of the Chag. But certainly Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, each is different, but together they're days of awe, they're days of transcendence, days of a different world, days of Shemayim, days of judgment, days in which our thoughts transcend our own world, our own history, to matters more eternal, to our lives, to our futures. And it's that type of theme that requires a lot of thought, a lot of preparation. On Rosh Hashanah, of course, the mitzvah centers around Tkiyah Shofar, the actual Maisa mitzvah. There are many other themes of Tfilas and Yom Hadin. The Rav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik, always claimed that Tkiyah Shofar is not just a mitzvah to take a horn and make a sound, but raising the shofar and blowing a sound is a form of tefillah. He proved this from several Gemaras, but the two Gemaras he focused on, number one, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chavav Amud Aleph, that according to one position in the Gemara, Ulis position, a shofar of a parah can't be blown. All shofaras, the first Mishnah, in the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, Kala shofaras, Kulan Ksheros, any shofar is kasher, chutz mishel parah, with the one exception being the shofar of a cow. And the Gemara explains, at least according to one opinion, because of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar, the last thing we want to do in Rosh Hashanah when we're praying for mercy is to evoke images and associations of the Egel Hazav, of the disaster of the Egel. The Gemara questions that Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar, the fact that we don't want to literally use a prosecutor in our own defense to elicit memories and images of materials which were associated with tragedies and betrayals, that only applies when we're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Normally the Kohen Gadol is allowed to wear gold clothing, but in Yom Kippur, when he stands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to wear linen clothing. Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar. We don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the gold, the Egel Hazav. So why does this principle apply to a shofar? Why can't we blow a shofar of an egel, of a parah, of a cow? We're not standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara answers, since we're davening and we're asking to be remembered in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, ki b'fnim dam, it's like we're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's like we're standing right in front of Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this Gemara, according to the Rav, corroborated that shofar is not just a mitzvah of blowing and making a sound, but creating a whole new form of tefillah. And the Beis HaMikdash is the center point of tefillah, is the conduit through which all of our tefillos ascend to Shemayim. So whenever we blow shofar and we use a shofar as an agent of tefillah, it's like we're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and our sensitivities are heightened, our standards are changed, and we have to avoid any reference or any allusion to the Chet HaEgel, the Chet that was responsible for so much suffering in Jewish history. Another Gemara talks about the shape of the shofar. Should the shofar be straight, as most Ashkenazi communities blow, or should it be a spiral shofar, as some Sephardic communities use? The Gemara has a debate, quotes a Mishnah, Chavav Amud Beis, and an ensuing Brisa, but basically the Gemara's question is pitched on the following issue. Should our tefillos be straight tefillos, tefillah pshuta, or should our tefillos be tefillah kfufa, spiral tefillos? Exactly what the difference between a straight tefillah and a convoluted tefillah? Machlokas we've shown them, but either way, the Mishnah assumes that the shape of the shofar will reflect the type of tefillah that is optimal for Rosh Hashanah. There is no other mitzvah in the Torah which is shaped based on tefillah. Matzah is not shaped based on the type of tefillah we're meant to offer. Lulav is not shaped. Tefillin aren't shaped based on tefillah. Yet shofar is shaped based on our tefillah. Its pattern, its physical appearance, must correspond to the human posture during davening, the mental state, bent over or upright and taut. Evidently, the Rav felt shofar is a different form of tefillah. It enhances, it changes our tefillah. We don't just pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Rosh Hashanah with our tongues, with our words, with our thoughts, but we pray with the sound of the shofar. How exactly does the shofar change our tefillah? What voice of tefillah does the shofar enable? Well, on the one hand, there's a very interesting Yushalmi in Tainus. Yushalmi in Tainus doesn't really talk about Rosh Hashanah, but it talks about the sound of the shofar during a Tainus. And Yushalmi says that by blowing the shofar, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we cry, we plead, Chashveinu ki'ilu goyim lefanecha kibhema. Answer us, respond to us as if we're just an animal. We're shrieking and crying as any animal would. On Rosh Hashanah, a person comes to the crushing recognition that whatever we ask for, whatever we plead for, we don't deserve, we have no warrant, we have no right. What are we as human beings but failures? What of our promises the year before that have been proven fraudulent and hypocritical? Does anyone truly believe that they stand in front of the Malach Malchei Amlachim and the Yom HaDin when each person passes through Kivnei Marom underneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu's watchful eye and we really deserve, we've lived up to our expectations, we've been honest, we've been forthright, we've been religious? The day is so inspiring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus and His authority is so overwhelming, so enormous. Human achievement, human convention, human sophistication, human tongue, human thoughts, personal accomplishments, personal failures, all ring hollow. Crushed by the futility and the undeservedness based on our past record, we have no choice. We cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us, heal us, rescue us as you would the beasts of the forest, as you would the fish of the sea. We're your creatures, they're your creatures. We may not deserve all of our interests and petitions as humans, but treat us like animals and let us live and provide our health, provide our food, provide our nourishment. Very interesting pasuk in the middle of the section known as Zichronos, section of memory, of nostalgia. Most of the psukim are vaunted, beautiful psukim about past periods of Jewish history and triumph. Zacharti lach chesed nurayich, ahavas klilosayich, lechtech acharai bamidbar, be'eretz lo zrua. Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers chesed nurayich, that honeymoon, that 3-month period of Jewish history, the golden period of Jewish history, right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so elusive, so transient, so truncated. And Hashem remembers it. Zocher Abris remembers the covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their faith, their commitment, their pioneering effort to bring the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu to our world. Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers Akedas Yitzchak, the commitment of a father willing to sacrifice his only child to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. But there's one pasuk which is strange. Vayizkor Elokim Misnoach Vizkal Achaya Asher Ito Bateva. The first pasuk of Sefer Zichronos, Hashem remembers Noach. Where is the animals in the Teva? What schus does Noach have? What schus do the animals have? Noach isn't a Jew. Why does he invade our Rosh Hashanah davening? The answer is because at one point, frustrated by our own infidelity, frustrated by our own limitation as people, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malach Malchei Amlachim, HaMamlich Melachim V'lo HaMlucha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who himself coronates kings, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may not deserve, we may not have that worthiness, but you redeemed Noach in his sweltering, festering community of animals stuck in that ark for an entire year with their garbage and their feces because enough was enough. They were suffering. Your own creatures were suffering, and deserve it or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the needs and the suffering of his creatures. Poseach es yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. The shofar is that effort, that attempt to divest the human voice, the artistic voice, the sophisticated voice, the thoughtful, cognitive, creative, imaginative voice, and just replace it with a basic, primal, animal, bestial cry without words almost. There are no words to the shofar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're shrieking, we're screaming for your help. Remember us, treat us as those beasts of Noach's Ark. Beautiful medrash, one of the most beautiful parts of Rosh Hashanah is when we read the song of Chana. Chana, Elkanah's wife, who suffered in silent barrenness for so many years, each year repeatedly ascending to the Mishkan, while her rival, Penina, had one child after another, and the families grew. And Yom Tov was a moment to celebrate the family experience. And finally, Chana was answered. And she sings her triumphant praise and song to the Rabbona Shel Olam, Shiras Chana. And according to the Medrash, part of her davening during those years was as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even rodents, even mice, even cockroaches procreate, reproduce. And how come I can't? I'm not asking you to be treated as Chana, to be treated as a tzaddikus, to be treated as your favorite child, your favorite daughter. Just give me what every single living natural creature enjoys. Even that you've denied me. Even that you've deprived me of. You can imagine the sense of triumph once her call was answered. Shofar's power allows us to strip, to scale down, to mute all the sophisticated and fancy presumptions that we bring into Rosh Hashanah. All the plans and strategies we have for our prayer about how we're going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it was one crushing but undeniable reality. Umalachim yechafezun v'chilor ade yochezun v'yamru hinei yom hadin lifkod al tzva marim badin. When we think about that sound of the shofar in Shemayim to announce yom hadin that even has the angels trembling, what is a human being to make of that moment? We run away from our humanity and we scream and squeal like an animal. But yet there's another voice to the shofar, another element or dimension which the shofar adds to tefillos. Halalu b'seika shofar, halalu b'siltzalei shama, halalu b'sofu machal, halalu b'minum v'ugav, halalu kol ha'neshama ta'alilka. Pasuk we recite in shofaros. Shofar is part of an orchestra, part of a symphony, part of an ensemble. Harps and flutes and drums and guitars. We stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just crushed and muted, but we dance and we sing because we recognize the enormity of the day, and we also recognize that we are Hashem's chosen people and we have Zchuyos and we have His memories of Bris of Akedat Yitzchak. How could we not celebrate? How could we not dance? How could we not sing? How could we not bring the best and most beautiful art and music that a human being can muster to celebrate the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is so elusive during history but is so palpable and tangible in this one day that reminds us of that first day of creation when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus was uncontested. Ador Olam Asher Malach, the ruler of the world who once ruled B'terem Kol Yitzinivra before any other creatures rebelled or had a will of their own, before man disobeyed. Azay Melech Shimon Akra, then his Malchus was completely and universally accepted. Which Oved Hashem can think of that moment, can appreciate the magnitude of Rosh Hashanah without dancing and singing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus on this day is reaffirmed because He recreates the world. We wake up, we'll all wake up Tuesday morning, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Mirat Hashem, and the world will look the same. But everything about it will be different because it will have been recreated and rejuvenated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it is every year. And His Malchus reaffirmed, Hashem Melech Li'olam Vaed, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, Li'olam Vaed. So the shofar allows us to sing and to dance, to rejoice. Because we understand the depth of Rosh Hashanah, as we say in Perek Mem Ches of Tehillim, which we'll recite 7 times before we blow the shofar. Zamru Elokim Zameru. Zamru Lemalkenu Zameru. Ki Melech Kal Aretz Elokim Zamru Maskil. We sing, we say Zmiras to Hashem with our shofar because we are Maskil. We understand. We understand the secret of Rosh Hashanah. We understand the cosmological importance of Rosh Hashanah. We understand the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah. We understand the Koach of Shofar of Rosh Hashanah. And this is the irony of Shofar. And this is the irony of Rosh Hashanah. It lends 2 voices to our tefillah. And each of those voices are diametrically opposed. On the one hand, We're crushed as humans. And we run away from our humanity and hide in the bestial voice of the shofar, screaming and shrieking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us as he were just a regular animal, because we hope for not more. We dare not hope for more. On the other hand, we realize that despite the somberness and the solemnity of the day, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. Tik'u b'chodesh shofar v'kesel liyom chagenu kichok l'Yisrael hu mishmo l'kayakov. We have a unique role in history. We have a unique presence on this day. This isn't just the day of universal creation. It's the day of Akedas Yitzchak. Not just the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering human activity, but we remember Chana and Rachel and Sarah. It's a day of Jewish experience and Jewish selectedness. And for that we sing, and for that we dance, and for that we use the shofar as a horn, as a French horn, as a beautiful Baroque sound to enhance the day. Shana is that strange mix of solemnity, august, serious, somber, but an inner quiet confidence. It is a thrill for us to be judged by the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, because we recognize the gravitas of that judgment and the consequences of that judgment. And we're also confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us and Am Yisrael favorably. And we dare not be humans and just the same. We dare not be anything less than superhumans on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses us as such. And the shofar captures those two contradictory extremes. On the one hand, we quiet our human voice. We squeal like an animal. On the other hand, we upgrade our human voice and dance and sing in front of the Melech Malchei HaMelachim at the joy of being judged as his people. Mirtz Hashem, as Slichos begins, let us start to build that consciousness towards that great day and towards those great days that Mirtz Hashem are soon upon us. Shabbat Shalom.